Hey Marcus, how are you doing today?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
You did it again. Every time Marcus does his initial hello for a show, because we recorded something right before this, he uses his extra voice.
Yeah, let me clarify for the audience. This is the voice that I use all the time. This is my speaking
Whatever,
voice.
dude. Whatever.
No matter to children, adults, old people.
Anywho, today I'm excited because I'm talking to the Marcus Garrett, and we're gonna talk money, we're gonna talk books, we're gonna talk all the things.
Don't forget to grab the How to Make Money Online resource today. If you're trying to figure out how to make money online, selling what you already know, this will be the resource for you. The following webinar will do is help break down how to figure out what your first product will be and who your ideal client is as well.
Marcus, if you could do me a favor and tell us who you are and what you do, that would be awesome.
I am the Marcus Garrett of themarcusgarrett.com.
It.
Speaking in my normal voice, everything you need to know about me, which I now focus on helping millennials decrease their debt and increase their wealth. You can get two deliverables or downloads of your choice. You can get a free copy of the book from debt, or excuse me, a free chapter. I don't want people to get there and be like, hey, wait, what a book, bro. You get a free chapter from the book, or you can choose how much debt can you afford on a $30,000, $50,000, or $100,000 salary. Both of those are at themarcusgarrett.com.
So, but I need to know more of what you do. Like, who are you? Like, why am I even talking to you, do you think? Oh my God, I hear the cat.
Should I go
No, it's
tackle?
hilarious. I think.
So I warned before the show that the cat only likes to speak up when I'm on recording anything. She was literally asleep for the last 18 hours. And I saw her walk by. She's got a ball in her mouth, so that y'all might hear her entertaining herself in the background. So I'm an auditor by day. I've been doing auditing for 15 years. So I do a lot of focus on systems, and I think a system is what takes you from goal setting to goal achievement. And I have found that a lot of
You gotta
people,
get rid of the cat.
I do. All right. One second.
Okay, listeners, I literally can't stop laughing because we literally recorded for 30 minutes before the cat came in, and he's like, yeah, the cat might make a little noise. And that cats are so devious, okay?
The cat likes to think she's part of the podcast.
He's devious. That's what's going on. Okay, so go for it again.
Where was I?
I can't stop
Oh, okay,
laughing.
there we go. I've been an auditor by day. I've been in auditing for 15 years, and I actually focus on performance audit. So we kind of look at what systems people have in place to succeed. And then I started applying that to my personal life, which ultimately led to, which I talked about, the book, Debt Free or Die Trying. That's how I paid off $30,000 in debt by age 30. And then I started looking at just people who I saw that were also succeeding. Like, what are they doing differently? So everybody has a goal, everybody has a dream, but I noticed that people that succeeded in achieving those things was doing so by putting a system in place. And I describe a system as the process that moves you from goal setting to goal achievement. What gets you to the outcome?
I wasn't going to ask this question, but I feel like I need to ask this question. So you're talking about systems in terms of money. I recently did a show talking about access versus systems. I feel like that was the name of the show, where I kind of talk about we can have all the systems in the world, but if we lack access, how do we bridge that gap? And we're both people of color, and I feel like that is something that is important to touch on in this conversation. You achieved something that was huge because most people, in my view, most people are perfectly happy being in debt, not because they want to be in debt, but because it's so hard to get out of debt because they don't have the systems, right? So if you could touch on a little of how access affects their systems, I would appreciate that. It's kind of a weird...
It's a great question, and it's actually one of the this we did not practice this. It's one of the systems that I have in a course that I'm developing right now. That's at the website. I won't hit it again. And one of them, I think there's four right now. I'm continuing to build it out. Is like a car because people like acronyms. So it's community. It's two A's: community, accountability. It's access and action. That's why I thought this was brilliant. And results. So I'll focus on action and access. We could talk about the others if it matters. But the way that I've been able to break out to answer your question, I do agree. Access is critical, and it's probably equal to not getting in your own way, if not more important. But I broke out by finding mentors. I guess I can say that technically my first mentor, being fortunate he's still in my life, was my father. And I say that because he and my parents have been married 38 years. I had to quickly do the math. And I say that because I was very fortunate that I had a man who coincidentally was my father that could show me all these things. And he worked his way up the traditional career ladder and worked his way all the way up from chairman all the way from the bottom, almost mailroom, but I won't give his day job away. But literally from bottom to the top, he was Drake before I knew Drake. And so I was fortunate that I have somebody in my life like that, because not everyone has that. Then more professionally, when I went to my first job, I actually had a woman director who took a vested interest in my success and showed me the path and the system for doing so. And then I had a male figure who was also at my job. But you've had jobs like this where people are like, you come here, you do your work, you collect your 40-hour check, we pay you to be here, goodbye. And he took a vested interest in me, and he showed me how to be a successful auditor. And he gave me a step-by-step program. In that case, he was like, get a certification. He told me to get my master's degree, which ultimately I did not. We can talk about that later if it's even relevant. It's actually not. And then he said, you can write your story and you can make a lot of money. And I was 22 at that time, and I heard money and write my own way. I'm a controlling person by nature. I was like, bet. And that's what I'm talking about, is you don't know what you don't know. So I had people with a vested interest in my life seeing me succeed. So if you don't have access, what I talk about in that course is, then where are you going to find it? Because it's out there on the internet, because that's where I found even more. And that's also how I scaled it. Actually, I met you through one of those systems. Is exactly. I went to a conference with like-minded people who wanted to be, in this case, financially successful. And then, and I still do keep in contact with those individuals, because again, it's 6 degrees of separation, and they introduce you to more like-minded people, and they introduce you to more like-minded people. And next thing you know, doors just keep opening, because you've surrounded yourself with the right people looking to take those next steps in their life. And they remember you and what you did for them. And then it's hard to explain, and you can probably relate, but it's hard to explain to someone who hasn't done it. So I would just say, step one is, if you don't already have access to it, is figure out where you can get that access, figure out where those people are. Because I said, once you get on the other side of the door, then there's just more doors. You will be overwhelmed by the availability of doors. I have to turn down doors now. And the first step is getting through that first door. That's my opinion on it.
You know, it's interesting that you say this, because I do want to point one thing out, which is, we're not necessarily saying networking in the sense of, hi, my name is Bob and this is what I do. Like, this is not what we're talking about at all. We're talking about creating authentic connections with people who have the similar interests that you do. So when I'm roaming around my state, I have a website about the state. It's the easiest way to connect with people, and they love it. Like, it's so easy to be like, oh, you know, I run this website. And they're like, oh my God, that's so exciting. They get so excited. Right. And then it opens up an opportunity to get to know them more. So even with personal finance and being in the personal finance space, or whatever it is that you're trying to do to change your life, better your life, that kind of thing, you can't do it in a silo. It's impossible. I am at the tail end of paying off a significant amount of unsecured debt. And one of the things I keep mentioning to people is, I understand why people opt to keep their unsecured debt. I 100% get it, because it's so difficult to do. And it's difficult to do if you're by yourself. It just is.
Yeah, one thing, it's an excellent point. One thing that I Actually, I'm going to start this story a few steps back. I had a guest on the show and she challenged us. Actually, she didn't challenge us, but I took it as a challenge because of the person I am. She simply made a comment that, yeah, I read about 10 pages a day. That gets me through most 300 page books, which is math, 10 times 30. And I was like, I hadn't read a book in a really long time at that point. And I was like, okay, I'm challenge accepted. And so I started reading 10 pages a day and I got through 18 books. And then I started writing reviews of those books. Mm-hmm. And we had authors on the show because of the reviews of those books that I wrote. Whoa. But to your point, it's one of those was Key Person of Influence. And it talks about the 5P system. As y'all know, I got a theme here and I got an obsession. Maybe I'm OCD with systems. one of them was partnerships. He actually said partnerships is the most important part of the system. He actually ends the book with this one. And when I look back at all the successes that I had and the failures, what I lacked was a team and partnerships. And I think to your point, a lot of people think that they have to go through it by themselves. They have, and I don't know the opposite term for it, but they don't have an abundance mindset. So they think if they give an opportunity away, no more opportunities will come back. That'll be the last opportunity that will ever come my way. And if I share it with a team, they'll steal my ideas and they'll run off, become the next Facebook or Zuckerberg, and I'll be left for broken, poor, and dead in the streets. And that has been the complete opposite of my experience. And in fact, rarely, if ever, does that happen. That's the exception where someone truly steals and runs and takes credit for and does not pay it back or pay it forward or just say, hey, I found this out from Marcus. He's over at themarcusgarrett.com. Mm-hmm. And I say that because I guess it's like ripples in a pond, you know, not to be cliche, but it builds outward. And now I can actually pass up confidently opportunities and be like, oh, you know what? No. Oh, for example, like, and I think I actually did this. Someone was like, hey, you wrote a book. Do you have any tips on book writing? Oh yeah. It was Kevin from Building Bread. You know, pluck. And he was like, hey, I'm thinking about writing a book. I was like, Michelle's got a book course. You should talk to her, you know? And I mean, I could have been like, man, if I tell Kevin about Michelle's course, then they won't buy my course. And that $900, you know, like, I could have, but I'm like, you know what? It's cool. Whatever happened. Michelle's got a course. I also don't feel like doing a course. And because the other part of that is another reason I'm not worried about people stealing too much of my stuff is most people goes back to the system. They can't do the thing anyway. So the people who steal, and someone else told this to me, they tend to fail on their own time anyway, because they don't realize the work it takes. They don't realize the skills that you bring to the table. They don't realize all the things you did behind the scenes to get that thing that they stole out front. So let them steal it and let them fail of their own fortitude.
I don't know how we got into this, but I'm kind of excited about it because I want to get into branding and building your own brand. I've watched with interest as you built out the Marcus Garrett and created the branding behind your site and your project. And I love it. I love it, love it, love it, love it so much. It's very distinctive. It's so you. How did you figure out what the branding would be?
I don't remember the exact role, but honestly, you had something to do with it.
Oh my God.
That's how I operate. I didn't realize this was a skill set until I just kept doing it over and over again. But like you, and it's a series of things. And you know, this is around the time I'm reading 15 books and I want to do my own thing. And I'm getting older. So I started thinking about my legacy. Like what will I be remembered for? The pandemic helped with that. I'm like, no day is guaranteed. <You know? laughs> In a world, you know? And I was like, I gotta do something here. And I think it was at podcast movement or something to that effect. You had talked about the importance of branding or something like that. And a lot of people had, and I was just like, well, I'm not really scared to fail. I don't particularly care for being judged, but who does? But I'm like, I fail all the time. I generally expect to fail. So that's my first stance. I don't let that stop me. So as far as branding and building goes, what I do want to differentiate two things from what I said. Go out there and do the thing. And then, yes, you should protect yourself and you should do all the legal and you should do all the copyright and you should do the trademarking and the registering. But what most people do is they're like, well, I'm not going to deliver my idea because someone might steal it. And so
which makes no sense.
Yes. They just never do the idea. And I'm like, nope. That's a really great place to live in. That's a nice world view that you have where like, I got a billion dollar idea, but I'm not going to deliver it. So don't nobody take it and make $999 million from it. It's like, or you have a dollar idea that you're scared might be a dollar idea. And the only way to find that out is if it's a dollar idea, is a billion dollar idea, is to put the idea out there. Mm-hmm. And the thing, the other side of that to differentiate is, I would say then if you prove correct, first of all, two things will happen. You'll have so much money that you can get all the lawyers and all the king's men and women that you need to sue that person for exactly. trying to steal your idea. And then you can put all the trademarks and things in place. So what I've done now with the Marcus Garrett is, and I lost track. That's another thing. This is like my sixth website.
Wow.
This is my second business. And so I already know the things that need to be done. I don't know everything, but I know the things that need to be done to get a website out, to do marketing, the steps that need to take place to get it out there. And this time around, I'm just like, I'm going to push everything out there. And when the money hits me over the head, then I'll go back and protect everything. Mm-hmm. Because if I do it the other way around, which I have, is actually, okay, I'll go back to the mentorship and network. One of my mentors said, like Wile E. Coyote, everything has a burn rate. You know, a burn rate until the little Acme bomb does or does not go off until you catch the Roadrunner. But you got to start the burn rate. And so for me, I'm just like, I'm going to get everything done. And I think that's what you're speaking to. I have pushed a lot out there purposely because for me, getting it done was more important this time around. Mm-hmm. And then when all the money comes flowing back in, and I am an auditor and I do work with an accountant, so we know the return on investment. And going back to that partnership, I'm working with a team this time around. Because a lot of other times I'm like, it's Marcus against the world. And that's an easy way to lose that fight. A lot of opponents out there swinging at you, you know? So I'm like, okay, this time around, let me pick out my dream team. I named like 10 or 11 positions that I wanted on my team. And I've been collecting them as I can afford them. A couple of them are my friends, so they're kind of working with me, which goes back to that networking. And let's go out here and put the industry on its ear. And everybody can eat from this pie. There's another cake and another cake and another cake too. Like we can all eat and we don't have to shovel and share and hide cake and pieces from one another. Like there's plenty out here and it's that abundance mindset.
Right now we're in a financial moment where there are a lot of people experiencing this moment differently. And I'm very fascinated by how people are on paper making a lot of money with like the stock market, that kind of thing. And then we have unprecedented unemployment, people waiting in shockingly long lines for food, that kind of thing. So basically, some people are doing well and others are doing badly financially. What is the number one piece of advice you'd like to share with people about dealing with our money right now, regardless of which side you're on?
Difficult question. I will attempt to answer it this way and begin with being empathetic and sympathetic to whichever situation individuals may be in, because I've been in both. I've done paycheck to paycheck, made $515 an hour, lost work, made $20,000 a year, but was $30,000 in debt. So I can truly, I'm not talking about the theory or a book I read, like right. I've been there. And I say that because I'm now on that other side of that hill that you were talking about. There's a quote from Nelson Mandela that when one rises to the top of the hill, you see how many hills are left as far as challenges go.
Wow.
And what I see is kind of twofold. So on the front side, if you're on the front side of the hill, the struggle, layoff, struggling financially, I would say secure yourself first. A lot of people describe this as putting your oxygen mask on first, as far as the plain advice goes, before you can help others, or if you can do for other individuals in your life, is to secure yourself first. For most people, that's going to translate into saving. I got a question yesterday about they had deferred, I'm not sure when this podcast will drop, but they had deferred payments for student loans through the end of 2020. Should they make extra payments, which will go towards the principal in this particular instance, or save that money? And again, it's another two-part question. If you've got money, job security, and you think in 6 months you'll be fine, pay the extra for principal, because that will go towards the debt and pay that down. If the answer to that first question is no, pay yourself first. Put all that money in your wallet, put it in a savings account. First of all, it'll be there in a cash or market account, something liquid that you can easily gain access to for you if things go wrong, if you need that oxygen mask. In this case, would be your emergency fund. On the other side, which I think I'm now leaning towards, is if you're good right now, something I saw recently is that 2020 will create, and it was a butterfly. First, it was a caterpillar. It was a cocoon and a butterfly. And it was like, mm-hmm. 2020 will create miracles and witness to miracles. Mm-hmm. And the reason I use that kind of visual is I looked at this scenario, and mind you, I beefed up my emergency fund because I panicked a little bit. I had the natural response. I went through the five stages. I'm coming to this from a place of clarity.
Right.
I beefed the emergency fund up from 2 months to 12 months. Me and the missus, like, we both contributed to this because we were scared. We were scared like everybody else. This is March.
Right.
We were like, what the, you know, what's going on here? So that we took care of that. But we were in a position to do that because of what we've done the last 10 years. And a great quote that I use all the time now that someone said to me, actually after a speech, was the key to overnight success is the first 10 years.
Woo! I love that.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. A lot of people think I just woke up here and that I'm just oh, he probably came from money. His parents are rich. He inherited it. It's like, this is a 20 year journey we're talking about here. But I can relate to the current situation because I was paying off my debt during the Great Recession. So it's not like I'm not coming from a place of ignorance. I'm not coming from a place where I cannot relate. Mm-hmm. I can speak to those things. And I'm fortunate to be wherever I am on that hill now because of changes I made 10, 15 years ago.
You are part of the fantastic duo of Paychecks and Balances. How has podcasting helped to grow your platform?
I would say immensely because you don't know whom is listening and who will hear you. I have a very real example of that. I got an interview different than the one that we spoke to in the video, actually, for CBSN. And I just happened to be in the green room afterwards. And I was like, how did I end up here? You just have that question, generally speaking, because this one was pretty inorganic. I think they reached out via email. And they were like, well, we had like an intern listening to podcasts. And I think coincidentally, we were... because every now and then we would spike up in iTunes, Apple Podcasts. And I think we were in the top five at that time. And they heard your voice and they're like, we got to have this guy on the show. And I was like, what? That was the reason? They're like, yeah. I mean, you know, we did it.
That's easy. I like that.
We listened to a couple more episodes. You seem not to be wildly ignorant. They're like, fly him out. And so... I say that because, and that examples like that, that's just the most, you know, readily available examples like that continue to happen over the years. And you never know whom is listening. I have one more recent one. So they're like, that's a fluke. That could, whatever. I don't have that voice. It's not about the voice. I was in Austin, Texas. I live in Houston, Texas. So for those of you not from Texas, first of all, Texas is biggest. And Austin's 2 hours away. So I was in Austin for a conference. I called an Uber to go to lunch and I was in the back seat and he got lost and he was like, hey, where's this place? And I was like, oh yeah, it's up here on the left, man. He was like, your voice sounds really familiar. And I was like, all right. He was like, okay, maybe it's just me. And I was like, look, man, the only thing I do is a podcast. And he finished my sentence like, Paychecks and Balances. And so like,
that is awesome.
You never know. You never know.
That is awesome. We're wrapping up this conversation. I do want to talk about your book, Debt Free or Die Trying. You self-published this book. How has it been being known as an author and growing your platform and serving people with that piece of content?
I'll be honest and I'll tell the full arc. It's weird. I'm more at peace with it now, but still not like okay with it. It's still weird. Like even when I hear you right now, you're like, Mark is the author. And I'm like, really? But I've written three books. and even my, you know, on Instagram, we can choose your creator profile. I went back and forth between public figure. I'm like, I don't know if I'm an author, but like, what the hell is
you're
a public
totally
figure?
Author.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm an author. And so you gotta come in at peace with the thing that you are, at least the thing that people are gonna describe you. And whether you like it or not, people like to fit you in whatever box is easily and convenient for their brain to wrap around. And so I might consider myself a multitude of things, but they're like, yeah, the author guy. And so it's true, it's factual. No one can argue with me about it. I've got 3 published books out there. So, you know, and I didn't steal them. So I wrote them, I am an author. But I share that part because a lot of people, they're going to have to come to peace with the thing they are, but probably more importantly, at peace with the thing they want to be. Mm. I wanted to be an author. I wrote the books and was still uncomfortable doing so. And it was a journey to get both the external and personal validation that, like, yeah, I can call myself these things. And going back to those interview requests, I'm like, okay, when I see subject matter expert wanted, I'm like, that's me. If they're talking about debt management and personal finance and credit cards, those are my niches. Those are my other areas of expertise. And going back to your earlier point about access, what I've grown or think I've gotten better about now is, oh yeah, no, I'm not an expert in those things, but I just don't ignore the email. Here's 3 to 5 to 20 to 15 people who are experts in my network. And here's the order in which I would recommend them. Please tell them I sent you so they can recommend me for their opportunities too. And like that goes back to that accessing and networking. And I truly believe in paying it forward, and it does come full circle.
You're building this online business and you have a full-time thing that you do. You're an auditor. What does your online business look like? Like how are you, can I be nosy? Like how are you making money? A lot of the people who listen to this show are actually content creators. And I think they struggle with trying to figure out growing their brand and marketing. We kind of talk about that just by you having a book and podcasts. But how are you making money as a person in this space?
Well, I was trying to cheat here. I was hoping you wouldn't finish that sentence before I got it in front of me. But what it is I have what I call revenue verticals, and I'll hit it in 2 ways. So one of it's proprietary information that I only release to email subscribers. I'll probably start doing an income report there. The other piece of it is because I have been doing it 10 to 15 years, I had a 15-year head start to this overnight brand that I built, is I know what does and does not make money. There might be new things I discovered that make money, but one of the revenue streams that's most obvious is the book. And also on the second page, which was a recommendation from a mentor that I have now, they're like, why don't you have a lead out from your book? So on the second page of the book, it makes recommendation back to the website. So if people don't buy the book, which is $9 and $11 print, they might say, oh, well, I don't want to pay for this book, but oh, his website's free, and they get on the email subscription list. And then I have several other ways that I can make money there. Several of them are email and referral partnerships. You can relate to this. Pre-Rona, I was doing speaking engagements. It was actually supposed to be my largest revenue stream, I might add. So like, I'm still a little bit sensitive about that. But like you said, is you just have to re-engage. So I licked my wounds, and I think I even pouted for 2 or 3 months, but it's like, okay, well, I can start doing webinars, and now I'm working with my network to, how can we do maybe a joint webinar or a school or a course where you talk about your expertise, I talk about my expertise, and we all share the email list. And I keep going back to the email list because I've also learned over the years, those tend to be my highest performing buyers. Mm. And I mean, just think about it. These people have taken 2 or 3 steps more vested interest in you. Maybe they might have bought the book, they went to the website, and then they actively signed up. Whereas if I just show up on a webinar, no matter how good of friends we are, they'd be like, man, who did Marcus got? I don't know you like that. And so these people are on my email list. I know that they buy and subscribe more. So I couldn't get this verticals document in front of me, but I'll share one thing there, but I know it's books. I have a couple of funnels where I bring people in from other sources and resources, my speaking gigs, courses. Affiliates. Yeah, I have courses. Yeah, and affiliate links. What I won't share, and I think it surprises people, is which one of those is actually my highest revenue stream.
Interesting.
And I say that because it goes back to the partnership side of things that I alluded to earlier, is the mistake, I believe, my thought before is I kept trying to do all the things myself. I kept trying to take all of the ownership. And again, it was something else I learned from somebody who was successful in the space, is he's like, I don't care how much you cost. I don't care how much I pay. I don't I don't care about those things. I was thinking like an employee. From employee mm-hmm. to entrepreneur was a different mindset, and I hadn't changed my mindset yet. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I look at everything as a ROI, which is return on investment, and it's 3-to-1 for me. Now, mind you, he's further ahead than me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, if I pay you $100, you better tell me how you can make me $300. Mm. And I was thinking of, man, I just lost $100. He's thinking of, how can you make me $300? Mm-hmm. So every time he makes $300, he made a $200 profit. And it's a different type of mindset. And that's how I approach the Marcus Garrett now. It's not how much does this cost me. If it's an expense, it's how do I pay for it? Right. What do I need to do to pay for it? Mm-hmm. And then if it's an investment, it's how quickly will I make money off this thing?
Oh, I love that. I love that. That's a good way to kind of wrap this up. That's a great point, I think, for a lot of the would-be or current entrepreneurs listening to the show. That speaks to the whole like efficiency and time versus money. If you're doing freelance writing, for me, I started doing it again. I took about 8 months off from it. Just, I didn't like how I was doing it before. Now I love it because I get paid $1 a word, which is great. I say no to a lot of things if I feel like it's not going to serve me well, or it doesn't make sense for my platform, or if it's just too time intensive, I'm like, not going to work. And the reason why is I always think of the ROI. Like, yeah, the money might be good, but will the editor be a pain to work with, or will this be positioning me in a way that's inappropriate for my platform, or what have you?
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think you hit it. You said it right. I'm trying to avoid all the cliche things, but I think I just said the age thing. Like, you hit it right on the head.
You're not even 40.
You can't avoid the thing. Well, if I'm saying them now, imagine what I'll be saying at 40. I'll be nothing but dad jokes.
Don't worry about it. Like you're thinking too much about that. Don't just live your life, man. Live it.
You're right. You say no to the things and you think of the return on investment. Is it worth it? And even you said it right there, but I think it's so natural to you now, you might not even realize what you said.
Well, I'm also a Gen Xer.
Well, no, it's a dollar a word. Like,
yeah,
you have to earn the credibility to charge a dollar a word. Be like, because when I started, I would take whatever folks give me. I said yes to everything. Now, when people email me, if it doesn't fit, and I have a simple rule. There's no money in the subject. You're not getting read first. Like in the first paragraph, there should be something about money. Like, I can make you, I will pay you. Uh-huh. I'll read it eventually, but trust me, you get moved down. I get a lot of emails, but that's what I've earned over time. I've earned the right to ignore emails over time. I mean, a quote that I heard as it pertains to work is, in your 20s, you try to get to all the meetings. In your 30s, you're invited to all the meetings. In your 40s, you try to avoid all the meetings.
And it's just I avoid
the meetings. I've gotten to the point where I avoid the meetings. Unless the meeting says the ROI here is 3 times.
Exactly. So how can we follow you and support what you're doing and get our free book, our free chapter?
I'm universally branded now, as we've talked about. I'm the Marcus Garrett on Twitter, most active on Instagram, and you can get a free book at 3 chapter from the book at themarcusgarrett.com.